Welcome to a deep dive into wearable technology, specifically how the placement of sensors on our bodies can impact activity recognition. We're drawing insights from Kai Kuhn's and Paul Lukovich's research, Sensor Placement Variations in Wearable Activity Recognition.
It's a fascinating area of study. This paper really gets at a crucial aspect of wearable technology, which is that these sensors, well, they don't really stay put, do they? They're not always in those fixed positions we often see in controlled research environments.
Right, because in our everyday lives, our smartphones, fitness trackers, they're constantly on the move.
Exactly. And Kuhn and Lukovich highlight this this discrepancy, you could say, between these controlled settings and how we actually use these devices. And they break these variations down into three main types.
Okay, that's it.
So we've got on-body placement, within-body displacement, and orientation.
All right, so starting with on-body placement, that seems somewhat intuitive. I mean, a fitness tracker on my ankle will obviously yield different data than one on my wrist, just based on the nature of the movement.
Absolutely. But the authors point out that it's not simply about the movement of that specific body part. External factors, such as clothing, can have a significant impact on sensor readings.
So the same sensor, in different types of clothing, could give us different readings.
Precisely. For example, let's say we're looking at acceleration data while walking. That data would look quite different if a sensor is, say, tucked into a tight jeans pocket versus just loosely placed in a bag.
I could see how those readings would vary significantly.
Yes. And then on top of on-body placement, we have within-body displacement. That adds another layer of complexity because now you're dealing with this constant small-scale movement within a specific location.
So even if the sensor stays, broadly speaking, in the same general area, it's still shifting around.
Exactly. The example they give is a phone shifting inside, say, a loose pocket. This constant movement, it creates all sorts of challenges for not only collecting data consistently, but then also interpreting that data accurately.
It's like trying to assemble a puzzle when the pieces won't stay still.
It is a bit like that, yes. And then finally, we have orientation, which refers to the way a device is rotated.
Right, because the sensor's readings are going to be affected by which direction it's facing.
Precisely. And this is something the paper emphasizes quite a bit, this notion that orientation significantly influences readings, particularly when it comes to things like GPS and audio data.
So a phone in my pocket with the microphone pressed against my leg, that's going to capture very different audio than one that's facing outward.
Precisely. And that's just one very simple example. Each of these variations, on body, within body, and orientation, they add this whole other dimension to the complexities of accurately recognizing activity using these wearable sensors.
It really makes you think about your smartwatch in a whole new way, doesn't it?
It does.
But with all these complexities, how do we actually go about reliably recognizing activity with these constantly shifting sensors?
That is the question. And the good news is that researchers are coming up with some pretty impressive solutions.
So they're finding ways to work around these constantly shifting sensors to still get accurate activity readings.
Precisely. Despite these inherent challenges, researchers are developing some ingenious strategies for reliable activity recognition.
And what do those strategies look like?
Well, one promising avenue involves identifying what we call location-independent features. So certain movement patterns, take walking, for example, they tend to exhibit fairly consistent signal patterns regardless of where the sensor is actually located.
So even if my phone is in my pocket or in my hand, there are still some core characteristics of walking that can be identified.
Exactly. Researchers can analyze things like the frequency spectrum of the movement data to pick up these kind of telltale signatures of walking. And this approach works because, well, the frequency spectrum, it gives us a way to look at the rhythm and timing of movements, which for something like walking, those tend to stay relatively consistent no matter where the sensor is.
That makes sense. But what about more complex movements? I imagine those are significantly harder to accurately recognize.
You're right. More intricate movements, those require more sophisticated strategies. And that's where things like dynamic feature selection come in. So in this case, algorithms are designed to adapt on the fly, essentially. They select the most reliable sensor data based on whether a movement is primarily rotational.
Rotational.
Like turning a doorknob, for instance.
Okay.
Or if it's what's known as translational.
Translational dot sign moving in a straight line.
More like reaching for an object. Think of it that way.
So the algorithm kind of assesses what type of motion is happening and then focuses on the most relevant data for that particular movement.
Exactly. And then beyond that, there's also what's called body placement recognition.
Okay. What's that?
So with this approach, the idea is to actually train algorithms to recognize where on the body a device is located based purely on the signal patterns coming from that device.
So my phone, theoretically, could determine if it's in my back pocket versus my front pocket just by how I move.
That's the goal. And there's actually been some really interesting work done in this area. The paper actually mentions a study where researchers achieved over 80% accuracy in identifying body location just using data from a single accelerometer.
Wow, 80%. That's impressive.
It is.
So it seems like these algorithms are getting incredibly good at interpreting even our most subtle movement.
They're getting there, yes.
What about orientation, though? Have researchers found ways to, to compensate for the challenges posed by these shifting device angles?
They have. There are a number of techniques being developed right now to actually estimate a device's orientation using data from accelerometers and other sensors. So, for example, by analyzing subtle variations in acceleration data, algorithms can, in many cases, determine if a device is upright, tilted, or even lying flat.
It's as if these algorithms can sort of see the bigger picture even when all the individual pieces are constantly moving.
That's a great way to put it. And all of these advancements in activity recognition, well, they have significant implications for a wide range of fields.
Well, let's talk about those implications. Why is this ability to accurately recognize activity, even with all the sensor displacement, why is it so crucial? Well, let's talk about those implications. Why is this ability to accurately recognize activity, even with all the sensor displacement, why is it so crucial?
Well, the implications are really quite far-reaching when you start to think about it. Take personalized healthcare, for instance. As wearable sensors become more and more ubiquitous, imagine the possibilities for things like remote patient monitoring.
We could be tracking the progression of diseases, maybe monitoring medication adherence, even detecting early signs of health issues, all through these devices.
Exactly. And it all comes down to being able to glean these really granular insights from our movements, even those subtle, almost invisible shifts and changes.
It's about harnessing the power of those movements to improve healthcare outcomes.
Yes, precisely. And it doesn't stop there. Think about the advancements we could see in, say, sports science.
Oh, right. Because if we can understand movement patterns in such detail,
we can start to optimize athletic performance in ways we never thought possible, prevent injuries, maybe even develop entirely new training techniques that are tailored to an individual's, you know, their unique biomechanics.
So the potential applications here, they really do span a wide range of fields.
They do. And I think, you know, even beyond these more, I guess, practical applications, this research also touches on some really fundamental questions about human behavior.
How so?
Well, then, by understanding how we move, how we interact with the world around us, well, it gives us this really fascinating window into our habits, our preferences, even our social dynamics.
It's amazing to think that our movements can reveal so much about who we are.
It is. And as this technology continues to evolve, well, who knows what other facets of human experience we might be able to explore through this lens of sensor data.
It's a good reminder that even our smallest movements can hold tremendous meaning.
They can.
The next time we check our step count or track our workout, it's worth thinking about this intricate dance of sensors and algorithms that's going on behind the scenes to make those insights possible.
It really is. It underscores the fact that we live in this world now where our very movements can be this incredibly rich source of information, not only about ourselves, but also about how we interact with the world around us.
It's been a fascinating exploration into this world of sensor placement and activity recognition. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.